Chase Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Max Herzl at pregame at 6 o'clock on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Predators trying to snap a six-game losing streak, and they got to do it against Edmonton and two guys they have not had an answer for in Draisaitl and McDavid. But before we get to that, as we do every Monday at 1 o'clock, we talk to Nick Kieser, and he gives us his NFL zingers.
Yes, guys, it is that time once again to do some NFL zingers. So, 3 weeks in, do we trust that Brock Purdy for the San Francisco 49ers is going to give them a very confident postseason run?
So, go ahead, Derek.
I was just going to say, listen, that defense is getting healthy. Seemed to be running the ball effectively with McCaffrey. Deebo Samuel, I don't know if he's back yet, but Brock Purdy has given them something that they needed to continue, that ability to get outside the pocket and throw the football. That's what Jimmy G gave them, and that's what Brock Purdy has given them as well. Listen, you don't have a lot of film on this guy. So he's looking great, man. He's making all the right decisions. He's being careful with the football. And he's built up some momentum and some confidence, man, that this team, from an offensive and defensive standpoint, you may not want to play them in the postseason.
So NFL memes underscore IG on Instagram posted a picture of the goats of their sport: Leo Messi, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Made me laugh. I just think this is a team that is built. Now, whether he can sustain that, you know, we'll see. I mean, eventually we see these runs. The flame burns out. But right now you ride it. And, you know, this talk of could Trey Lance be ready for the playoffs, if Purdy's still hot, I don't go to Trey Lance.
No, why? Why would you?
No. I ride it until you can't ride it anymore. That's what I do.
You know, I haven't seen Purdy enough to know if he's going to turn into a pumpkin or not. I mean, he's doing well. There's no question about it. But I do think as each week goes by, the tendencies start getting around the league a little bit. Defensive coordinators kind of say, okay, I hadn't really seen this guy, but now that I've studied him a little bit, here's what they're doing. Let's see if he can do this. You know, I do think that is what's going to be the issue. But I'm with you, Derek. That team is humming right now. The McCaffrey trade down the road, they paid a big price, but he has been everything they wanted him to be, and the defense is making it so that offense doesn't have to do a whole lot. But Samuel, that high ankle sprain, I am wondering if he's going to look like himself anytime soon.
Well, their toughest task, I think, is going to be this upcoming week versus the Commanders. That defense is playing well. They lost a close one this past week.
But that's
going to be a tough matchup for the 49ers. Then they get the Raiders and the Cardinals. So, you know, it's a different story once you get in the playoffs. Everybody know that because it's seven of the best teams in the playoffs. So, you know, they're going to ride it as long as they can. And if he continues to do what he has been doing, the good thing about him is that they're not asking him to win games.
Right.
They're asking him just to go out and don't make no mistakes, and that's what he's doing. He's not making any mistakes.
So are you guys saying he should steal the Let's Ride? But
yeah.
Probably not.
No, don't take that from
Russell.
Russell, nah, because we saw what happened to Russell Wilson.
Very true. Well, guys, one team that has not won a postseason game since 1991 looks like they could perhaps pull off an upset if they do make the postseason, and that is one Detroit Lions organization. So, guys, do they really honestly deserve to make it to the postseason? And if they do, do they win?
You're damn right they deserve to make it to the postseason, man. Dan Campbell has gotten this team. This is another team, sort of like Jacksonville, that they have talent, but they're just they were trying to figure it out. They're losing a lot of close games. Listen, this is the same team that barely lost at the beginning of the season. They should have beat Philadelphia, end up losing to them. Now they're sort of figuring it out. They went on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak during the beginning of the season. But Dan Campbell they've stuck with him. This team has. And they continue to just surprise everyone in the NFC. And again, just like San Francisco. This is not a team you want to face if indeed they do get in the playoffs.
No, I agree. I think they are playing for their head coach right now. Their head coach is getting everything they can out of him. He should be coach of the year, in my opinion. And so they're going to be dangerous if they get there. I think some of the mistakes earlier in the year are probably going to keep them from actually making it. But you never know.
Hey, these last three games are all winnable. Carolina, the Bears, and the Packers.
They could go 3-0.
Exactly. Which would put them on a six-game winning streak.
Realistically, guys, they should win those three games.
So that's what I'm – yeah.
I'm just very curious to see how
careful
they end
with
up
that should win. Coach Willie doesn't like that.
That is true.
Coach Willie doesn't like that should word.
Very, very true. Well, guys, one team that I thought had a very interesting ending to their game yesterday was the Patriots. Oh, my gosh. Was that the worst play that you guys have ever seen? I just want to open the floor and hear what y'all have to say.
To me, I think it has surpassed the most bonehead plays of all time.
The butt fumble?
The butt fumble,
is it over Leon Lett?
The butt fumble.
Why do you bring that
is
up?
Is it over Leon
Lett? Let's bring up the nominees, right?
Okay.
Leon Lett is one. The butt fumble is a crazy play, but I don't know if that's like a decision.
Exactly.
That's just a crazy
that's
looking
just a great, play. Yeah, exactly.
But the Leon Lett is a decision.
Yes.
Right? He makes the decision
to go.
To do that. Exactly. And there's two Leon Letts. There's Leon Lett in the Super Bowl, and then there's Leon Lett in the snow on Thanksgiving Day.
That's the one I was talking about.
That's the one you're talking about.
In
where
the snow.
Get away from it. You don't need to touch it. Get away from it. I'm just going to go touch it. Why not? So that's up there.
Uh-huh.
The other one I thought was the Giants with the Herm Edwards, Joe Pisarcik. All they have to do is fall on the ball.
Uh-huh.
Kneel down. The game's over.
Exactly.
Let's have a handoff. Why not? Fumble. Herm picks it up. Scores.
He brought
that's
that up
right up there. And then
there's numerous.
This one, I think, takes the cake. It takes the cake. Yeah. To throw that where he threw it, obviously didn't look before he even do it. First of all, he runs backwards 15 yards and then throws it about 15 more yards backwards. I can't believe it. That is number one.
Wasn't there one, and I can't remember if this was an NFL or college game, but the receiver has it, and he doesn't cross the goal line, and he basically throws it into the back of the end zone and ends up being a touchback.
Or there was another guy that dropped it
at the one. Yeah.
You know who that was? Was that Deshaun Jackson?
Yes.
I think it was.
It was celebrated at the one.
Because there's a movie, Silver Linings Playbook, where
he
Robert
drops
De Niro
it.
Goes, Deshaun Jackson, you're Deshaun Jackson. You fumbled at the one-yard line. You're celebrating the one-yard line.
But that play.
It was a bonehead.
I don't know. Because I didn't hear Bill Belichick's press conference afterwards. I wonder, was that a Bill decision to, hey, listen, if you got
keep
an opportunity, keep throwing the lateral? Or did the running back decide, hey, listen, I'm going to try to win. I'm going to be the hero.
If it was the
running back's decision to do that, then he might not be on the roster today. But if it's Bill's decision.
It was the wide receiver. But I've never seen anybody do a series of laterals with the game
tied. Yeah.
Unless, hey, I'm getting wrestled in and I see you right here with 1 foot away and I'll hand it to you. That's one thing. But to throw a dangerous one, it was unbelievable.
It was a lob shot. It was laying it up for him. Chandler Jones had the easiest pickoff of his life.
And then Mac Jones, the poor guy, sits there. He gets absolutely pile-drived into the ground.
He get Derrick Henry stiff-armed to the ground.
Oh, it was worse than that.
Insult to injury, man.
It was worse than the Josh Norman stiff-arm, if you ask me. He got face-planted. But, guys, I'm going to give you one more. And, Chase, you're not allowed to go first, but I'm going to talk about the Cowboys. So, do we honestly think, because I'm not really too convinced that they can win a playoff game, okay? I'm just not, because they have let teams stay with them. What do you guys think? Chase, go last, please.
Hey, Nick, listen, I'm with you. The Cowboys end up doing cowboy things every single year. But every year after that, Cowboy fans say, this is our year. How about those Cowboys?
Thank you, Derek.
I don't think – judging by their history, as long as Jerry Jones is owner / GM, this team will continue to do dollars things. It is not good. I'm sorry, Chase.
As talented as their defense is right now, they've been giving up a lot of points. And the other thing that just was bizarre about that game yesterday is how quickly – They let the Jags back in the game. They have full control of the game. The Jags make a nice drive to get back in it. They're down 10. You're still up 10. Dak Prescott decides to try to be the hero and sling one down the field, throws an interception, and all of a sudden, boom, things start snowballing. And then in the overtime, golly. So, Cowboy things. They have the talent to win in the playoffs. They do. But they've got to get with it on the decision-making here to actually have a chance.
I agree. I still think that they're the best wild card team in football, which is what they are right now. That's me. Yeah, thank you. But they should have won yesterday, and they squandered it. They let a good football team come back and beat them. That's a good football team.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's a good football team, and they're playing like it. And they took their foot off the gas, and they deserve to lose because of that. Now they got to turn around and play Philly.
Ooh.
Luckily, it's in Dallas. This is going to be interesting. Game of the weekend for sure, Christmas Eve. And then a quick turnaround to play the Titans here on Thursday Night Football, and then they close against Washington. That's not an easy schedule down the stretch at all. They've clinched a playoff spot, so they know they're in the playoffs, but you certainly want to see them end on a high note. Do I think they can win a playoff game? Yes, I do. I still think they're a good team, but they let one get away yesterday.
Man,
that's for sure.
Cowboys, I don't know. Cowboys are like the Lakers. Like, all this talent and just can't
win. The Lakers
win.
Now?
Yeah, the Lakers now. Like, all this talent. You know, or even the Lakers before they won a championship.
I mean, they have talent.
In the bubble.
Lakers have talent from 2008.
Yeah, but they still got talent, and they can't win. Or like the New Jersey Nets Brooklyn Nets or the Philadelphia 76ers. All this third talent, but end up doing the same old things every year.
Coming up next, Predators Oilers tonight, and things not looking good for the hockey team right now. 6-game losing streak. We will discuss what needs to change there, and look ahead to tonight. We'll do that. Chase Willie D Mace, 105-106-3 the game.
Final score: Avalanche 3, Predators 1. Preds with a great push in the third.
That's Max Herz, as heard on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators Radio Network. Back here, Chase Willie and D Mace, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Predators and Oilers tonight for the second time in 2 weeks, as they will play Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid, two of the best players in hockey and two players that the Predators have definitely struggled with over the years. But Predators
struggled
to put it mildly.
Exactly.
To put it mildly. A 6-game losing streak, and there's a lot of different layers here that you can go with this. And I know the easy quick layer and where the fan base is, and look, this is the most fired up I've seen the fan base in a while. They're calling for John Hines, they're calling for David Poyle, they're calling, you know, everybody. But I look at one thing in particular, because the biggest problem is they can't score, and that's kind of the point in hockey, is scoring goals, and they can't do that. They're, what, 0-for-20 on the power play in the last handful of games? Can't bury it in the back of the net. And quite frankly, that falls on Philip Forsberg. That falls on Matt Duchene. That falls Ryan Johansson, Mikael Granlund. Those are the guys that you look at to get the offense going. Yossi's doing his job. I know he's still 2 points away from passing Leguan, but I think Yossi's doing what Yossi should be doing as the captain and as a defenseman. But you got to get more out of your top guys. John Hines has said it. You can hear the frustration, you know, in his voice. And look, for those of you that have been fans of this team for a while and covered it for a while, Willie knows what I'm talking about. Towards the end of the Laviolette era, it got frosty in those post-game press conferences. It's not to that level necessarily with John because he's a different type of person, but you can hear it because it's like, what do I got to do to get these guys going? Like, they've tried everything. They've tried reducing minutes for guys. They've tried moving lines around. They've tried different power play units. I mean, I feel for John Hines right now. He's tried everything. And it's, to me, on the players, but everybody's going to blame the coach. And sometimes that's what happens, that Management looks at it as, you know what, it's not necessarily all your fault, but need a different voice to try and get something going. Sometimes that's how it goes. But right now, they're doing everything they can to try and get things going. And to me, it's really those three guys. And Ryan Johansson, you guys know, I like Johansson a lot. Glad he's been here as long as he has. Dude, stay out of the box. Like, stop. Because some of these penalties, a lot of these penalties are dumb that he's taking.
You know, you said that everybody needs to sort of elevate their game. Not sort of. They do need to elevate their game. Yossi is – he's been what we knew he could be and what he's always been. He's been that guy. But when you've invested a lot of capital in certain players, then certain players need to step up. And Johansson is one of those guys. And this just didn't start this year. It started in the playoffs. No goals, 2 assists, 2 points in the playoffs. Now, granted, they got beat. They got swept. But it started then. And then it sort of bled into the season. He seems to be, from what I've seen, he seems to be one of these guys with immense talent. And he knows he has immense talent. But if he approached the game like Yossi did, that talent would come out every game. If he approached the game like Yossi does, then that talent would just come out. But it doesn't seem like he approached the game. It seems like at times he's floating. It seems like at times he just it's almost like it's just this coast. Well, I can coast through and I can do this. Well, when you coast through, you get penalties. And he's found himself in the penalty box a little bit too much for my liking. And it's not – it's because of the lack of effort to me. That's basically what it is. It's not like this young man can't play. Again, he has immense talent. I've seen this in guys. All the talent in the world. But it doesn't come out of them consistently the way it needs to. I don't know how John Hines gets it out of him. I don't know. But they're going to have to get more from him. They just gave him a huge paycheck. And it's almost like he said, okay, I got the money. Now I'm good.
I'm good. What year of the big contract, Chase? Year 5 or 6?
Yeah, I want to say he has 2 more after this year.
Yeah. So that, you know – I think the thing that really is exasperating at this moment is I think the coaches.
Because last year was something totally
right,
different.
That's,
it was
that's
like,
it
how can you
time.
Play that well last year and then just fall off the map this
well,
year?
Let's go back to when Peter Laviolette was let go in early January of 2020. Remember the Winter Classic? Mm-hmm. They lost to the Stars. They went out west. They had some guys hurt. Ryan Ellis was knocked out of the game by Corey Perry, famous hit. They come back home from the West Coast, and they make the change. John Hines comes in. Okay, John kind of got a broken team here. We got Ryan Johansson struggling. Matt Duchene hasn't found it yet. And so for the next year and a half or so, they worked as a staff. And, of course, the next year is when they brought – a couple of new guys in there. Dan Hynote, who had been with Ryan Johansson in Columbus. Yep. That was one of the things that they liked. Todd Richards had been with Ryan Johansson in Columbus. So they worked as a staff, I think, for about a year to try to get a system that would work, that they could get the right personnel with to win and get the most out of those guys. Because they knew ultimately, even though they put those guys out and available in the expansion draft, they knew that, look, more likely than not, you're not going to be able to trade these contracts. You got to find a way to get mileage out of these guys. And last year, it looked like it really came together. Ryan Johansson had a good year. Matt Duchene had a career year. Philip Forsberg had a career year and earned a huge contract.
Yeah.
He's set up now. How much time did we discuss talking about Philip Forsberg and the contract? Mm-hmm. Well, he got the contract. But now all three of those guys in particular, look, $8 million, $8.5 million, it's not about the dollars. It's the investment, the percentage of the salary cap that is tied up in those guys. You have to have production from them. A little regression is one thing. If the points and if you look at the points themselves, the points aren't that bad, but it's the lack of the drive.
When you watch them.
Well, you need goals, but also if you're not scoring goals, what is happening when you're on the ice? Are you driving play? Are you noticeable? Are you forcing the goalie to have to make tough saves? Are you forcing the defense to get back on their heels so that when you go off the ice and the next guys come on, they're in a better position to succeed? That's what's really been lacking. And then, of course, the cherry on top of the whole thing is the guys that have to drive your power play.
Right.
And they have to make the impact on the power play. And so you put all that together and you've got a team that is really struggling to score right now. Now, there's 50 – this is game number what, 29?
This is game 30.
This is game 30. You have 52 games left.
Yep.
52. Now, there's a lot of things you could do in 52 games.
Sure.
To right the ship here. But you're going through that dark time right now. I will tell you that St. Louis in 2019, the Oilers last year, you can go through some dark, dark months in a season and live to tell about it if you stay together and fight and you really work on your weaknesses.
Yeah, but what?
But how do you get?
What happened with those teams? What did they do?
They made change.
Well, I don't think the Blues made a change that year.
2019?
2019?
Wasn't that the year they won the Cup?
Yeah.
Did they make a change?
Well, I mean, absolutely. That's probably that's just a natural thing that gets discussed when a team is struggling. Is sometimes there's all kinds of heat on everybody, including the coach.
But how do you get the best out of guys like Johansson and Duchesne?
Thought they had it, right? They thought they were all on the same page, and they were last year. And then this year, it's not. So now if you're the coach and the staff, you're like, wait a minute. We just it took us a long time to build what we built. We felt good about it. Look, coming out of Prague, I felt great about where everybody was on the same page, right? You could see it. They had a lot of confidence. So what happened? I don't understand it. It's the same guys, same coaches. They all had the understanding about what it was that it was going to take for this group to succeed. And now they're just lost.
They fired Mike Yeo in November and then put Berube in there and then won the Cup.
Okay. And I'm not suggesting that that's what they have to do here.
No, I'm not either.
But what I'm saying is
your two examples.
You have a formula that's established with this group. So what is not happening with the formula? That's what I just don't get.
And he's made line changes.
Oh, yeah.
John has.
He's tried. He's tried because you can't just sit back and do nothing. Right, you have to try to tinker and try to do but there's a level of frustration, I'm sure, by everybody when you're just not getting results.
You know what? When things like that happen in sports where, you know, you take, say, for instance, Johansson or any other player with immense talent, and you're just not consistently getting out of him what you need, typically if you move him around, demote him a little bit, that may spark something in him. But we haven't seen any spark in Johansson. So where does that come from? It's like, who pulls him aside and said, listen, we need more from you? You know, not in a combative way, but like, listen, we're only going to get better if you and you do your job. Y'all start coming to the rink wanting to play every day.
Well, let's look at Saturday night. What night was it? Two nights ago. Saturday night, at the end of the second period, you got Forsberg and Duchesne who were on the same line.
Yep.
Neither one of them had a single shot on goal going into the third. Forsberg ends up with one. It's a good one. He almost tied the game with less than a minute to go. Duchesne makes one great play and scores a goal to get him back in the game. So it's like you said, this team cannot be successful unless those three guys are successful. Yep. There's no other way. There's no other way for them to do it.
615-737-1025. Adam, Bob, we'll get to you coming up next, weighing in on the Predators. The confidence level you have with them right now, what you want to see from them. But can you beat Vegas this football season? Superbook Sports gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms, no guys across the pond setting the lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business, and they're right there behind the counter at the Superbook in Vegas. Plus, they feature some of the best odds boosts and promo bets anywhere. So do like I did. Make it your official sportsbook app. Download the Superbook Sportsbook app, Superbook Tennessee, or visit superbook.com and start your battle against Vegas today. Willie was asking about this earlier. If you're looking ahead to the weekend, Titans at Nissan Stadium against the Texans. Titans a touchdown favorite on the Superbook Sports app against Houston. You can get that right now, -7. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, the game. You still looking for some Christmas gifts? You know what? I'm done. I got it done. Check out Nashville.
You're done?
I'm done.
Envious.
I am done.
I got a few more to get.
Check out Nashville's best deals and get half off. I mean, I already got you guys a gift, me. So,
Thanks, Chase. Thank you.
Check out Nashville's.
Coffee, tea, or me.
You can check out Nashville's best deals and get half off gift cards for Old School Pizza, Seafood Sensations, River Queen Voyages, and more. Just visit thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Taking your calls and texts on the Predators and turning this thing around, 615-737-1025. Adam wants to weigh in on the head coach. Adam, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, Chase, man? Hey,
what's up?
Quick question. So I feel like, and I don't know if Willie's going to like this or not, but I feel like we missed a window to tear it down for the Preds. Like, I feel like it's almost like – you hang on because if you start getting rid of players that have been important to the franchise, it's probably the end of David Poyle. That's the way I look at it, is that it's the end of him, which means Hines goes too. But I feel like you've missed a window to tear it down because you thought that this was eventually – I mean, if you looked at that game two nights ago, we didn't even look like we're in the same class as them. I know we got – especially as far as when we had even skaters on the ice – we did okay putting shots on goal, but you see the way they run their power play, even without McKinnon, so much better and smoother than the way we run our power play. We don't get clean looks ever. There's never anybody around the net. The goalie has to be spectacular. If he's not spectacular, everybody says he sucks because our defense is, like, strangely not good anymore. I feel like if there was a way we could fire our coach and get Trotsky back here, I would be so happy with it. I don't know if it's a possibility. Willie, you can tell me if it's a possibility, but I would absolutely love that.
Wait,
movie.
Adam, before you go, though, didn't you just say you wanted to break it down?
Yeah, break it down. Then start it over with Trotsky.
Do you think Barry Trotsky is interested in starting over? I don't know. I mean, let me ask you this, though. At what point did you think it should be broken down?
When we lost to Carolina, I was like, man, we were close.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. And I don't know if you were saying that then. The problem, and we debated this, it's not like we've never talked about this, right? These are the decisions that you have to make.
Sure.
Is, are you on the verge of building a roster back to where you could be better than you were the year before? And I thought, honestly, that they could. And the thing that really was the tiebreaker for me is something you just mentioned, Adam, is you have a goalie that gives you a chance to win. There are 25 teams that would kill to have the kind of goaltending,
sure,
that you get with UC Soros every night. And
Lincoln has been a hell of
during
a backup.
During this 6-game winless streak, they've been right in the game.
Yeah.
Almost every time. The only game that really was they were chasing was the last time they played the Oilers here. Yep. And that's a whole other story.
That was Lankinen.
And that was Lankinen.
Yep.
But that's the thing. You're not that far from being a good team, in my opinion, if you could get the best version of yourself. It is a fair thing, I think, to say, okay, which way do you want to go? You're good. Can you become great with what you have and all the contracts and where you're going, or do you want to play back? There is a huge price to be paid if you want to say we missed our window to tear. When you say tear it down, first of all, it's not easy to do, and second of all, it's no guarantee that it's going to work. anytime
soon. Even D-Mace was saying a second ago, he was like, well, you know what you're going to get night in and night out with Roman Josi. He doesn't even look right to me right now. And this is fat guy on the couch, man. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But the way I see it, I'm like, boy, he misses a lot of pucks. He misses a lot of passing lanes now. Like, it looks sloppier than I'm used to seeing from even him. And he's our best player.
I disagree with you on Josi. I think Josi has been – now, is he on fire right now? Is he carrying the team? No, but I think he's playing very well. Remember, he's also playing without his partner, Ryan McDonough. And when the team was on a 7-1-1 roll, McDonough and Josi were together. They were playing well. McDonough was starting to find himself. He goes out, and I don't think it's a coincidence that, that's hurt them being able to win in some of the close games here. But by and large, I think Josi is not. He's the least of their problems right now. I'm not worried about him. Saros has been great. So it's an interesting philosophical discussion. I know that gets thrown out a lot, is are you better off just going backwards if you want right now? But they've done what they've done. They added McDonough. They added Niederreiter. They were looking to take it further.
Sure.
And right now, it hasn't worked to this point. But remember, there are 52 games left.
Yep. I understand that. All right, so there's a couple of things. Uh-huh. Couple of things here. I think that the Titans and the Predators are in a very similar spot.
Uh-huh.
With some differences, but they're in a very similar spot.
I think there are some interesting parallels between the situation they're both in right now.
I think the window is being held open with a flimsy stick for both teams. Now, a couple of moves here and there, a couple guys play better here and there, a couple guys get healthy, that changes. That stick could become a steel rod. I mean, fair.
But it gets you back into the discussion that's been an issue. That, hey, we're a playoff team, but now do you have what it takes to win in the playoffs?
Are you a competitive playoff team?
Right.
The whole
right now they're just fighting to hang on to what they've been.
The whole blowing it up thing, I agree. I think there was a time after they lost to Carolina where are we better off going ahead and rebuilding? And that's when David used the competitive rebuild, which he later changed to – what did he change it to? Competitive
– Transition. In reality, though, they were trying to rebuild slowly and still be competitive, which is what they did.
And that's what they did. And they made the playoffs, got swept, and David then had the, we got to get better. I got to give John tools to succeed.
But if you think about it, they did not spend to the cap last year. They still were
and
in the competitive rebuild.
He asked about that. He said the reason why he didn't think that was the year to do
it.
Well, this summer, they did. They did make moves.
Yeah.
And they got Ryan McDonough, and they signed Nino Niederreiter.
Right.
Those were the big ones. They upgraded the backup goalie with Kevin Lankinen. And I have said – I said then, and I'll say it now, that this roster improved. The problem is this roster to me is a lot better than what you're seeing on the ice. And that's where the discussion comes in of what is the reason for that? Mm-hmm. Is it the system? Is it the coaching? Is it the players? My answer is D, all of the above. That's what it is right now. Whatever reason, there are things that aren't clicking. The Titans, this is where the difference is. The Titans, bad drafting, which I can say that the Predators have drafted well. I mean, I think some of the prospects in the system right now, you feel decent about.
I think there's still some depth. Here's how, if you want to piece that together about the drafting, because I know somebody called Robbie and Rexroy. Caught this. Somebody had a stat about how many players. Well, really, if you look at the last 19 or 20 picks, those guys are all 20 years of age and younger. I do think there's some promise in the last couple of drafts, but what do those have in common? They held on to the top picks.
Uh-huh.
The few years before that, they were either picking very low in the first round or they were trading the first round pick. Uh-huh. And that has taken its toll on the prospects that are now what you would hope are going to start helping you. The guys that are 22, 23, 24. You know, now you don't have Tolvin anymore. He was a guy that they were really hoping would bolster that young group that, you know, you need those guys on a roster. From 22 to 26, 27 on their first contracts, you need those guys to be helping you a lot. Dante Fabro is a nice player, but he's not – it doesn't look like he's a cornerstone guy. He's a guy that is good, but you'd love to have more. You know, you got guys like Carrier, Jeannot. those are good, solid pieces.
Sure, but they're not. None
of them are having a great year.
No, right now.
So who are your? Because we just
and you don't, also don't have those premier high talented guys that you get when you pick high or you hold on to your
right
first round picks. Those are that's where most of the time you get the jump from the farm system.
And here's to your point. Here's the message that I'm going to send to the fans. Okay, for those of you that want to rebuild, and have thought that way, then what? Why are you going to fire Hines and bring in Barry Trotz? Barry Trotz didn't want to go through a rebuild.
No, I don't think he would.
Dude's out of coaching right now because he got fired, but he could have had any job he wanted. He could be on a bench right now if he wanted to be. He didn't want to
yeah.
be. And so you think that you're going to get him to come off the couch and get back on the bench to coach a rebuild in a place that he helped build it from scratch. Now, maybe he wants to do that. I haven't talked to Barry. I know he was on Fred's official podcast, so be sure to download that and check that out. But my guess is he's at a point in his career where if he's going to get back on the bench, and that is 100% his choice, he wants to contend. Now, if you're in the group that thinks that this is kind of like me and thinks this roster is a lot better than it's playing and it comes down to that and that's the move you got to make, that it's just a different voice, then that's another conversation. Because I do think Barry would certainly be in the consideration for that. There's some others out there too. But you can't have it both ways. You kind of have to decide. If you're going to blow it up, then David's going to get on the phone and start shopping.
Well, how many times are you going to do that? You just did it with Lobby.
But I'm talking about a roster.
No, I'm not saying blowing it up, but how many times are you going to – listen, I'm not in the camp of firing or keeping. I'm neither one
sure.
way or the other. I'm just looking at it for what
that
it is.
That doesn't magically fix
yeah.
things.
But my thing is, how many times are you going to then – you got the players. Your marquee players need to be stepping up and playing, you know, the way they should be or you expect them to be. And if that doesn't happen – well, you end up firing your coach once, Lobby. You brought in Hines. Well, after 3 years, what do? Fire Hines again just to try to light a fire up underneath their rear ends to play?
Sure.
Well, damn it, take the responsibility and light up under your own ass, okay?
I agree. It's
on
him.
Don't keep pointing at John and saying, well, it's his fault, it's his fault. I get it. Stuff rolls downhill. And eventually, if this thing doesn't get right, they're going to be looking at John. And they're probably already looking at him now. But – just because you sign these guys to long deals doesn't mean they should be held accountable for the lack of production they're giving. You know?
I agree.
It's like,
I agree.
I can't keep changing all this other stuff to appease you yeah. or y'all. And when y'all don't like the guy or like playing in the system, y'all play slacks a little bit. Then I got to end up changing somebody else again. No. Get your ass going. Let's go.
We'll continue with this. A lot of you want to weigh in. We got more phone calls. On the Preds, we'll do that. 615-737-1025. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 the game. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company will take over in just a little bit, in 12 minutes. Talk about the Titans and their loss yesterday. Get you ready for the Preds and the Oilers tonight. We take your calls on the Predators and on the Titans in our last segment. 615-737-1025. Bob wants to weigh in on the Predators. Bob, welcome in.
Earlier, you guys were talking about whether the Titans still had faith in themselves. And I want to ask that question about the Predators. It certainly looks like they don't have much confidence on the power play. I was wondering if you've detected any of that with the overall team. And my question is, Willie, you see the Predators more than pretty much anybody. What have you seen that should give fans some hope that things might turn around?
Well, it's a great question. First of all, I think we've talked about it. Let's just take the power play as an example, right? I do think you get the power play going, It's the kind of thing that could energize a lot of other areas of the game. The six-game winless streak, almost all of those games are either tied or, for example, two nights ago, they're down 2-0. They gave up a goal in the last couple seconds of the second period, which was a real gut-wrenching play that probably shouldn't have happened. But they come right back and score early in the third. My point is they're right in the games. They're not getting blown out.
Right. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
No,
they are in these games.
They are competitive in these games. And, you know, UC Saros has a lot to do with that. Right?
Sure.
He's keeping you in the game.
Yep.
So that's the first thing I would say to give you faith is you've got one of the best goalies in hockey, best goalies in the world. He's outstanding. He gives you a chance. He can mask weaknesses on the roster.
That's like having that quarterback.
I think in some ways, or the ace pitcher in baseball. He's going to give you a chance to win the game. As far as the power play, what I see a team that even though there's not a lot of practice time, they've been playing every other night. You got to try to rest. You're balancing rest with practice. You need to practice. But they're trying something. They're out there on the day of the game trying to go through the different options. Let's move the pieces around a little bit. How do we get here? I'm sure there's input, you know, from a lot of different sources. They are trying to do some things. So it's not as if they're just sitting back. They're going, it'll come around.
I don't think anybody thinks that.
Yeah.
But what I see is I see so much heat going towards the coach.
Sure.
And I don't see as much heat being applied to the guys who can make it happen. But I do think your confidence wanes a little bit when you're not scoring. And it might seep into other parts of your game little bit. And you just have to fight through it. And I do think on the other side, it can be a lot better. You can come out stronger if you can get through the tough times there.
Yeah. I don't think they're not trying. Like, the coaching staff, I know they are. But
I mean, I see guys, they're constantly break down every entry when they're on the power. They break down every entry when they have possession. They break down every pass that's made, every look that's there. They know they scout the other team. They do what every team does. They're working doubly hard trying to find the solutions there. And they're not just sitting back on their heels and say, you know, we'll do it the same way, we'll do it the same way. They're trying to make all of the adjustments. They just haven't found the formula yet.
Stephanie on our text line, driven by WilsonKennyHyundai.com, says, I'd love to hear your thoughts on why the Preds have not recalled Phil Tomasino. Could it be a personality conflict with Hines, or what do you think it is? Thanks, Stephanie. They recalled Tommy Novak today.
Right.
I do think it's interesting that Tomasino's not up.
He's been hurt.
But he's back now, isn't he?
Yes, but he's still playing through, from what I'm told.
Okay.
From what I'm told, he's still playing through the injury. He's only been back for a few games. He hasn't gotten back to the groove he had before the injury. It's a matter of time. Tomasino will be here in time. It is 0% a personality conflict.
I mean, because that could be a spark. I mean, just adding more talent.
Well, now that they've moved on from Tolvanen, there's a ton riding on Phil Tomasino becoming a really big piece to the puzzle here. So, believe me, it is not. If they thought he were 100% ready to come in and be a force, they would bring him up here. But that time will come. No question about it. But it's a great question because they did call Tommy Novak up. Tommy Novak, meanwhile, has lit it up in Milwaukee. And so they're going to give him a chance tonight. We'll see what he can do. I don't think his ceiling is nearly what Tomasino's is, but he's a little bit older than Tomasino. He's played a lot of games in the minors, and I do think if he plays well, he played 27 games here last year. You know how many how many wins they had when Novak was in the lineup last year? Out of 27 games? 19.
Huh?
They went 19-7-1 with him in the lineup last year.
Maybe he's the key. Let's go to Bicycle Boy.
But that's why I hesitate to almost throw that out there because it wasn't all because of him.
Willie said that Tommy Novak is going to win the cup for the Predators. Willie said that.
He said it. You said it.
Let's go to Bicycle Boy. Preds have talent. He wants to weigh in on that. Bicycle Boy, what's up?
Hey, fellas. First of all, these people that post and call in and think we ought to get rid of David Poile are just clueless. I mean, general managers in the NHL got to deal with foreign players and salary caps and farm clubs. And there was so much to that. Poyle's done a great job, and all you got to do is look at how he's improved the roster from last year. My point is, we've got talent. So you can't fire the team. Maybe it's time to try a new coach and a new system. And how about this, Willie? If we let Hines go, Dan Hinote's going to be a head coach in the NHL someday. Let's give him the rest of the season, see what he can do.
It's an interesting thought.
Well, the system is an interesting one. You know, and whether you forget about the coach, who it is, because on one hand, if you're going to change the head coach to hire his top assistant, I don't know if that's changing a whole lot.
Lou Lamoriello just did that. That's why they're trying to
and he did do that. I guess the question is, should you play different, right? Do you, quote, open up? I don't think this is a team constructed to win a run-and-gun game. You might score more, but you might give up more. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Bicycle Boys just said, we have the talent. They possibly need to change the coach, okay? Well, what happened from John Hines last year to this year if they still got all that talent? You see what I'm saying?
When they had it.
Blame the players, damn it. Like, I can see if it was just a dumpster fire last year, and then you get in this season and it continues to be a dumpster fire again, then obviously, hey, we got to look at the coach or somebody else that's running this team, and we may need to go in the opposite direction. But you have the same players you had last year, and you've upgraded your roster. Why aren't you asking what's wrong with these players instead of pointing at the coach and the GM? Or instead of pointing at the coach, ask what is wrong with these players? Because my thing is, I've always said this, coaches are there for a specific reason. I understand that. But if I need the coach to motivate me to go out there and play, I shouldn't be playing this game. If Johansson, Forsberg, and Duchesne needs John to motivate them to play or anybody else, they shouldn't be on the ice. They shouldn't be lacing up for the Predators. Go somewhere else. I hope that's not the case. But you call in and say, the GM's doing a good job, the head coach needs to be fired, but you never say anything about Johansson, Forsberg, and Duchesne. Seriously, you just forget about that. You just have amnesia about those three guys. I don't get it. Goodness.
There we go. We started off feisty. We end feisty. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow at 10, but stick around. Stillman and Company on the Titans. That's next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
We out.